Hey there, welcome to the Encountering Jesus with Pastor Nick podcast. Hope you're enjoying these episodes and learning and growing from them. Of course, on this podcast channel, we also have the audio from our Sunday morning messages, which I preach most of the time, or every now and then we'll have a guest speaker. So you can listen to those as well and go back and see previous messages. But on the Encountering Jesus podcast, we're looking at just different things, different thoughts that are in my head and different things that I'm learning and studying and sharing with you. And I wanted to read you a scripture from one of the healings that Jesus did, somebody that he healed, and just kind of share that with you and share a few thoughts that I have that might be useful and pertinent for your life. So I'm going to be in Mark chapter 10, just a few verses, verses 46 through 52, which is the end of the chapter. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many people rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Let's consider a few things here in this little section of scripture that we looked at. First of all, there's this guy named Bartimaeus, and I think it's kind of funny that it says, which means son of Timaeus. If we have just a slight grasp of their language, we know that Bar, B-A-R, usually is talking about son of another person. So if somebody's name is Bartimaeus or Bartholomew, it's son of Timaeus or son of Tholomew. But anyway, that little parenthetical note that Mark included for us was, you know, I guess trying to be helpful. But this guy who's, we know not very much about him. What do we know? His dad is named Timaeus. His name is Bartimaeus. I find that interesting because there's not very many people that Jesus healed or relieved of some malady like demon possession or an illness. There's not very many people that we see what their name was. We do know that he drove demons out of Mary Magdalene. We know that there was a man who was possessed by demons, and he asked what his name was, and the man said, "Legion, for we are many," which we believe that was actually the leader of the demons within him that was speaking, saying that we are an actual army of demons possessing this man. But other than that, I can't remember personally anyone that Jesus healed whose name was mentioned. So I find it interesting that Bartimaeus had a name mentioned. And I wonder if he was actually known throughout the years after this. Now, this is very close to the end of Jesus' life and earthly ministry. So very soon after that, we're into the what we would call the early church period. And I wonder if Bartimaeus was actually known among many of the believers, much like Lazarus and several others were. Perhaps he had found some type of notoriety amongst the believers as a man of great faith and a man who was very committed or dedicated to following Jesus Christ. But his encounter with him is when Jesus is on the road, he enters Jericho and then leaves Jericho heading for Jerusalem. The road from Jericho to Jerusalem is about 15 miles long and has an elevation increase of around 3,400 feet. So it's quite a climb up into Jerusalem from Jericho. Jesus was on his way with a following of people, as it were. You know, not just his disciples, but a large crowd was following him. They knew that he was headed to Jerusalem. They knew that there was a festival coming up, and so many people were probably headed that way already. And since Jesus was walking and headed that way, they decided to be in his company and following him. Meanwhile, there's a guy just doing his normal business. He's blind, so he's begging. He doesn't have much of a way to earn an income, so he's begging for just enough to make it by, just begging for enough money that he can survive off of. And we don't know much about him. We know what his dad's name was. We know he's blind and he's sitting by the roadside begging. So as he heard this commotion, this crowd coming, you know, you got to think a lot of times or most of the time when somebody has some type of handicap of some sort that has to do with one of the senses, whether they're blind or deaf or something like that, their other senses tend to make up. Like they increase or they heighten to make up for the lack in that other sense. And so he can tell it's a large crowd. He can tell by just the way the conversation sounds without having to hear any words. He can tell that it's a very excited crowd and that something big is going on, that it's not a riot or it's not some type of protest or something like that. But this is a crowd that seems to be excited. And so he finds out that it's Jesus that's walking that way, and he's, you know, evidently he's heard of him already at some point. So he begins to shout over the noise of the crowd, over their volume level. He begins to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, this is significant. There might be a lot of people that had a specific title of some kind, but Jesus was the one that they called the Son of David. Now, the term Son of David had a very important place within Jewish expectation of a coming Messiah. They understood that the coming Messiah, and they rightfully understood this, that the coming Messiah would be one who would sit on the throne of his father David. God had promised David that he would always have a descendant on the throne, and the prophets had spoken of the one that would sit on David's throne. And so it was expected that the Messiah would be one who came as a son of David, and that he would sit on David's throne, or that David's throne would metaphorically continue through him. So they were looking for this. They were expecting this. And in Jesus, they had seen him do several things. They had seen him heal somebody who was born blind. They had seen him drive out a demon from somebody who was both deaf and mute. There were other things that were expected of the coming Messiah that only he would be able to do. And Jesus had done these things. So as they saw Jesus and they saw his signs and his wonders and his miracles, they expected and knew and believed that he was the Messiah, the Son of David. So Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, and he knew that he was the one that was the Messiah. So he called out, "Jesus, Son of David." In other words, it was a declaration of faith in who Jesus was. He says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now the people kind of told him to shut up and be quiet. They wanted to silence him. They didn't want to hear him. They didn't want to bother Jesus with him, much like the disciples hadn't wanted to bother Jesus with the children before, and Jesus rebuked them. But the more they told him to be quiet, the louder he got and the more he talked. So Jesus heard about it. He heard him calling, and he said, "You know what? Call the man over." So they called him and they said, "All right, hey, you know what? Cheer up. Sorry we told you to be quiet. Now get on your feet and come this way." And so he came and he saw Jesus, and Jesus asks him this question, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want from me? What is it that you are calling out to me? What is it that you want?" And most of the time we see Jesus coming up to somebody that had a need of some sort, and Jesus kind of took the lead role in that and just healed them or did something. But in this case, he actually asked the man, "What is it that you want from me?" Now the man simply replies, "Rabbi, I want to see." And Jesus tells him to go because his faith has healed him. And immediately he received a sight, and then he followed Jesus along the road. He joined in with the crowd. In other words, he didn't need to be a beggar anymore. He didn't need that spot on the side of the road. He didn't have a job to go back to. He didn't have one right now. So all he wanted to do was to be close to Jesus. And so he's just kind of assimilated into that crowd to be one of Jesus' followers. But it's interesting to me that the man here, and this is in Mark chapter 11, this man wanted to see Jesus. Or Mark chapter 10, I mean. He wanted to see Jesus. But in chapter 11, Jesus comes into Jerusalem And he rides in on the donkey, and the people, you know, they're praising him, shouting Hosanna and everything. But then he goes in and he clears the temple courts. And they didn't like that too much. You know, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they didn't like this. And they didn't appreciate him doing these things. And so later on in Mark chapter 11, they begin to question him. They say, by what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you the authority to do this? So they were blind and could not see. They couldn't see who Jesus was, and they couldn't see the authority that he had. They couldn't see that he was rightfully coming into his own kingdom that was rightfully his. But yet this blind man wanted to see. And I think Mark put this here not because he had to include it, not because it was some story that just had to be told. Certainly Jesus had done a lot of things like this. But I think Mark included this one because he wanted us to see that there were some people who were anxious for sight, for vision. They were anxious to see who Jesus was and what he came to do. And then there were some who were just obstinate and stubborn and refusing to see who Jesus was. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, they were blinded by their own desires and by their own notions of who Jesus would be or should be, who the Messiah should be. And yet this blind man said, Master, I want to see. Jesus asked him that, and it was interesting to me that Jesus had asked him what he wanted, you know, what is it that you want from me? It should have been pretty obvious. And yet we see the man's faith here. Before we hear him speak as far as his answer to Jesus' question, we know that he already has faith in Jesus because he addressed him as Son of David. He confessed who Jesus was in a way that many people were scared to do at different times. It's interesting that he confessed him as the Son of David because shortly thereafter, just maybe a few hours later, it's about a 6 to 8 hour journey from Jericho to Jerusalem with a stop along the way in Bethpage and Bethany where he picked up the donkey that he rode on. So let's just say it was about 6 hours later that Jesus actually shows up to assume the public position of the Son of David, the one who would reign and rule. But Bartimaeus, he answers Jesus that he wants to see. Jesus grants him his sight. It's funny to me that Jesus just healed him. You know, he gave him what he asked for. He gave him what he wanted. He didn't challenge him on anything. He didn't address any of the man's other needs. So many times today, so often today, we're looking at somebody's situation and wondering, you know, what human solutions are there to all of their problems and how can they step up and fix their own situation and what could they do differently. But Jesus doesn't address anything going on in Bartimaeus' life. He just addresses the thing that the man asked him about, his vision. I do believe that between Jesus and maybe the other apostles and believers, that they discipled him, that they taught him, that they showed him who Jesus was throughout the rest of his teachings. So this seems like a nice complete story, right? I mean, the man got what he wanted. He got his vision back. He got his eyesight. He followed Jesus. Later, they put Jesus on a donkey and lead him into town, shouting, Hosanna, Son of David. What's missing? Well, I think what's missing in both Bartimaeus' life and in our lives so many times is that Jesus offers us so much more. He offers us more than just that thing that's sitting there right in front of us that we want fixed. Think about the things that we ask about, the things that we pray about, the things that we come to the throne of God and request that he would do something about. Think about your prayer life and the requests that you've made of God. And what are those requests? And what is it that you've asked of him? Have we asked him for simple things, for convenient things, for things that give us pleasure, quality of life, ease of pain, healing from sicknesses? Are those the kinds of things that we ask of Christ? Or do we ask him for the bigger stuff? Do we ask him for more, like forgiveness? Think about the young man that was paralyzed and his friends lowered him on a stretcher and placed him before Jesus as he was teaching a group of people. And what's the first thing Jesus said to him? Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. He addressed the man's need for salvation before addressing his need for physical restoration. How many times do we look for somebody to be healed or somebody to be made well without asking about what impact it would have in this world for the sake of the kingdom of Jesus Christ? How often do we pray with the kingdom in mind? What I mean by that is, how often do we have the growth and expansion of God's kingdom, of His kingdom here on earth, and the glory and fame of the name of God, how often is that primary and foremost in our prayers and in our requests? Jesus offers us so much more than fixing the immediate need that's right in front of us. He has big stuff in mind, like forgiveness, not just for you and for me, but for all those that we know and come into contact with. He offers us restoration. You know, we are created in the very image of God, and that image was tarnished and messed up by the effects of sin. His goal is restoration and redemption, renewal in the image of God. Jesus offers us that. He offers us eternity. He offers you and I a purpose and a mission that we don't just have to sit there every day and work through each of the situations in our lives and the things going on and just try to hope for a better day tomorrow. No, He offers us a purpose and a mission, a way to serve Him and a way to live for Him. Let me encourage you in your prayer life and in the way you approach each and every day that you wouldn't just ask Christ for that thing that seems to be in the forefront of your mind every day, but that you would shape and change your attitude and your prayers and your outlook, that you would truly be looking for a purpose and a mission to serve Christ, to bring about His kingdom on this earth, to usher it in as we look towards the eternity that He gives us because He is restoring us, because He has forgiven our sins and is restoring us in the image of God. Jesus Christ offers us more than just sight. He offers us redemption and restoration and a purpose and a mission. Be convinced of this. You have a job to do. The God of the universe and His Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is calling you to serve Him right where you're planted. And maybe perhaps someday He'll call you somewhere else and have you serve there. But wherever He's put you, wherever He's placed you, He's calling you to serve Him today and every day. So pray for the big things. Not big dreams, not big goals as far as having more earthly possessions and more comforts and more wealth and health in this life, but pray for the big things of an eternal value and an eternal nature, because those are the prayers that Christ answers the most boldly and vivaciously, the biggest, most flourishing things we could ever hope or dream of are the way that those prayers turn out. Ask Christ for the big things, the eternal things, the things that bring people into His kingdom and that offer wholeness and restoration. As you do that, you will see the kingdom of God unfold before you. Thanks for listening to this. Thanks for being part of this podcast. I pray that you're doing well and that your studies in the Word of God are doing fantastic. One of the tools that you can use to help you grow closer to God and to learn and understand His mission for you is called Right Now Media. It's got tens of thousands of videos on it and training sessions and seminars that you can utilize and look up different things for different situations and stages of life. If you don't have an account on Right Now Media, you can go to my church's website, zfnfamily.org, and right there, you can find the Right Now Media tab, and if you scroll down, there will be a place you can click on the word here. Click here to get access to Right Now Media, and you can sign up for your free account. So I'd encourage you to do that. I'd encourage you to take advantage of that's been provided for you and use it for your growth and to be a light in a dark world. Thanks for listening. If there's anything that you'd like answered or discussed or talked about, please feel free to email me personally at Pastor Nick DeFord at gmail.com. Thanks.